Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 4 of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is all about how to ignite your life and shine. I am Amy Hackett-Jones. I'm a happiness and high-performance coach, and I'm here to take you on a journey of discovery today with my guest, who is May Bush. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit more about May in a moment, so I'm very excited to have her on the call. So this radio show, and it really invites you, my listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of teachings, practical tools, essential life and leadership skills that we translate into actionable strategies on the course so that you guys can step into being the best version of yourselves. My interviewees typically are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, soul activators, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, as well as friends and family. Those who live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their light so others may do the same. And yes, that's you. So here we go. Today I am with May Bush, who I met, I think, about 3 years ago in the States. And May is an executive coach, speaker, advisor, author, and blogger in the field of leadership and career success. Prior to this entrepreneurial career of hers, May had a 24-year career in investment banking, most recently as the COO of Morgan Stanley Europe. May just happens to be one of the highest performing women I know in business, so I'm extremely happy to have her here. May, welcome.
Thank you so much, Amy. That is such a wonderful introduction. And I love
it. Oh, thank you.
It hardly seems possible we met that long ago. I feel like, or maybe it was just a short time ago, but it's really been great knowing you.
Yes, it has, hasn't it? It felt, I mean, three years anyway. It's just flown by. And actually, three of my speakers already have been members that I met at the Experts Academy that time in San Francisco. So this is all about being brilliant and high performing, which I know you are absolutely an expert in. So I'd like to start just asking. Sorry,
Amy. I was going to say, you really put the pressure on me now.
I know you can handle it. So I'd like to start just with a little delve into where you've come from, your background, so that we can set the scene for our listeners here today. So just tell us a little bit about, you know, where you grew up, where you came from, a bit of your heritage. I know we have an interesting fact here that you can trace your family back 37 generations to a king of China, which is pretty amazing. So just tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, yeah, don't worry. I'm not going to start back in 908 AD. So I was a nice Chinese girl all the time growing up. I worked really hard. I kept my nose to the grindstone and used to keep working really hard and do excellent work. Everything will turn out really well. And it did for a while, but then you get to a stage in your career where you realize, ooh, that's just not good enough anymore. And you have to do some more things, which is one of the things that I found out and one of the reasons that I'm doing what I'm doing now. But just to fill in some of the gaps there, I grew up in the States. I worked at Morgan Stanley as an analyst, and I worked my way up from ground floor to chief operating officer. In that time, I got married to somebody I met freshman week at college or university, as you would call it. We have three wonderful daughters, and we also now have moved to England. Lived here as part of my job. All our kids are in the States now because they're in college or have already graduated. So we're the only ones out here, but really loving it. And what else can I tell you about myself? I used to play the piano, still do a little bit. I am a little gym and health fanatic, and I belong to this CrossFit gym now. And every week I go there 3 times a week, and just because I'm so enthusiastic, I've learned that I really have to just try not to hurt myself when I'm in the gym. And I love helping people. It's what I, maybe that's the, I remember being in investment banking and coming home and saying to my husband, you know, am I doing something meaningful and good in the world? And he said, May, you are greasing the wheels of capitalism. And I'm going, oh, yes, okay, that's good. I'm greasing, but it doesn't have the same feel to it as what I do now, which is helping people and their team to be better and do more and be in a position to make the difference that they need to make.
So wonderful. I love that. Greasing the wheels of capitalism.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough job, baby. Someone has to do it.
Someone's got to do it, exactly.
So is that enough on my background? My husband always says, yeah, sure. You know, you're in trouble. You asked my wife to talk about herself, and that could go on indefinitely. I've learned I need to pause.
That was great. I wanted to ask you, what was your biggest learning in your 24-year career in investment banking? What was your biggest insight, your biggest learning about being a career woman? What's sort of one of the biggest things you've taken away from that time?
Well, I think the biggest thing I took away overall was this idea that you need to really take ownership of your own goals, your mission, your own definition of success, and be really clear about what that is, because this is what I was alluding to in my remarks before, but it is just not good enough to keep your head down, do a great job, and think that everything's going to go your way. It just doesn't work like that. So you have to take ownership. And so that's a general learning. And then as a career woman, wow, what's the one learning? I've got a bunch of things in my mind, and I'm trying to choose the best one. Well, you know, I think you need to, for me, it was just keep going. There are a lot of stereotypes out there, a lot of societal assumptions that I made about myself, others made about me, I made about other people. It's just normal that there are all these assumptions made. And so I discovered that you have to figure out how to make it work on your terms and then just keep going. And maybe do you want an example of what I mean?
Sure.
I realize it can be a little cryptic. So I would walk in, and I'm 5'2", which I'd be seen as a short, nice Chinese girl. And I always looked a lot younger than I was, which is not a good thing when you're 20-something or 30-something and you want to be taken seriously. And so I realized that there were certain stereotypes people were ascribing to me, or preconceived notions. And some of them worked in my favor, and some of them worked against me. The one that worked in my favor was, because I was Chinese, they go, oh, she's really hardworking, industrious, and she'll be really good at math. I'm not that great at math. I mean, my father is a super math genius, but I am not, I'm okay. But I said, you know what, I don't want to disabuse anybody of the notion that I might be really smart and good at math, even though it's not really my strength. So I left that one there, and then there was like, oh, she's going to be really quiet, sit there and do her work and not make a fuss, make no waves. And that's the one that wasn't really helpful when I got to the part of my career was where I was wanting to get promoted and being seen as a leader. and have these things assertive and not somebody that they could walk all over. So
right.
That was the time when I had to then figure out what I would do about that. And then once you figure those things out, you're always figuring out new things that you need to work on, but just keep going because it's a long road, it's a marathon.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what did you figure out when you realized that? What were some of the steps that you took to become or to step into the leadership role that you then started stepping into?
Well, for one, I had to develop a personal brand.
Right. Okay, great.
Yeah, really important. And I didn't think of it in those words. That's the terminology I use today.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, it was more that I had to figure out how I wanted to come across. But that is a successful brand. It's how you come across to people and develop some presence. And part of that was about learning to speak up. Believe it or not, by the time you've met me, and you know that I love engaging with people and talking to people and helping them and listening to people as well. But back then, I was really, really afraid to say anything in the meeting. So I had to overcome all of that fear. It was really hard. It took me years. That was one thing. And then some physical things like learning how to walk in a room, into a room.
Right. So you'd walk into a room standing tall and with presence rather than shrinking and being fearful.
Exactly. And it's a shame people don't get to see you, Amy, because you are so regal in your carriage. And you can sail into a room, and that's what you have to do.
Yes, absolutely.
And then it's also about eye contact. It's about how you shake hands. Oh, my goodness. The number of people that do not know how to shake hands properly is astounding.
I completely agree with you. It never ceases to astound me how, especially women, but some men, how a weak handshake and when people don't look you in the eyes, it's such a put off. And yet when you have a firm handshake and you look somebody firmly in the eyes, it gives such a brilliant impression.
Absolutely. And you know, the interesting thing, Amy, is that I don't think I have ever told somebody who had a bad handshake that they did. So nobody tells you this.
No.
I've only recently started telling people, but only in a coaching context or when
Absolutely.
I'm doing a workshop.
Yeah, otherwise people tend to take these things very personally, don't they?
Yes, unless you've done what we coaches would call good contracting up front to have permission, right, and it's a safe place,
yes.
And you know you have their best interests at heart. But yes, I don't go around telling people you just met.
Yes. Great. So just tell me a little bit more about building a personal brand then, because we're looking at shaking hands, we're looking at looking people in the eyes. And like you say, personal branding a few years ago wasn't really a term that people were okay with, or sorry, that even existed. But now with the sort of maturing of the internet era, it is vitally important. I've even read recently that people don't look for, you know, the typical two-page CV anymore. They look at your online presence, they look at who you engage with, and look at the images you put across. But all of this stuff, people or employers are looking at that these days more than, you know, a two-page CV that you might send them.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because how you come across includes the digital world, which is huge, you're right. So, I like to start with getting clarity on what you want people to think of when they think of you.
Interesting.
What way do you want to be top of mind to them? And I think there's two aspects aspects of this. You know, one is I think of it as, I always ask my clients, you know, what are the three adjectives you want people to think of when they think of you? And so that really is the brand you want to convey. And then if you go and actually ask people that that you've met or that you know or that you work with, you know, what are the three adjectives you think of when you think of me? And I always say, please use only positive words, so you don't want to make this scary. And that is your reputation. So your brand is what you want to project, in my view, and your reputation is how others actually think of you. And so you want to think, be clear on what that is so you can start to close the gap. And it's really about how you want to show up and what you want to be known for and what you stand for.
That's and so then, important. How you want to show up, what you want to be known for.
Yeah.
And the other one was?
How do you want to show up? What do you want to be known for? And, it's really those two things. And the other thing I said was, what do you want it? For what things do you want to be top of mind for?
Yeah.
So for example, in your case, or maybe for many of the people listening, maybe that somebody is a coach or someone is a healer or, right? So you want, when somebody's looking for a person who can do X for them, you want that to be ascribed to you as well. So that's a more tactical thing. You know, what area of expertise do you want to be associated with?
And this also goes, you know, there's two lines here. There's the expert space, which coaches, healers, that sort of thing tend to be in. And then there's also where you work as well is with corporate people. And I think this is less understood in the corporate world of how important your online presence is, your interactions, the things that you associate yourself with online as well. Would that be true or?
Absolutely true. And for most of my career, we weren't even allowed to have an online presence. We were barely allowed to speak to the press. And it's funny, now I see my former colleagues, they're all getting LinkedIn accounts.
Yeah.
That's the safe, right? That's the inner first circle of dipping your toe into the digital world's water.
Yes.
A few workshops for corporate people. I mean, that's part of what I do for a living. And I put up a big sheet on the wall and said, hey, write your email address if you want to be on my mailing list, and also write your Twitter handle. Well, everyone had an email address. No one had a Twitter handle. These were 20 people. And some of them even millennials. But, so it's really an opportunity, I think. Because the other thing about a personal brand and why it's so important now is that people these days, we're going to have on average, I think, 11 jobs in a career. This is the workforce now. That's a huge amount of changing and moving. And so it's really important for all of us to have a personal brand that is independent of our organization. And that's what this digital footprint can be for you.
Or
writing, or blogging, or having a radio show. I guess somebody working in investment banking won't have the time or what we used to call the bandwidth to do a show, but they could certainly write articles. Maybe they could blog on their expertise.
It's sort of like building your own footprint, really, isn't it? Building that presence up.
Yeah,
and it gives future employers or even people who like you, if you've spent your career in corporate and then you transition over to coaching, it gives people a longer understanding or a deeper understanding of where you've come from, your thought processes, how to connect with you, and that sort of thing, doesn't it?
It does, and I think that it even helps corporate people in the career in their corporate career because it helped build their reputation and brand with their clients, for example.
Right. Wonderful. So get blogging. get on LinkedIn, get blogging, get writing, get out there.
Yeah. Or speaking. You know, we were talking before about how both of us, I do like to write, but I love to engage more interactively. And speaking is one of the things, and I know you do too. And so if blogging is not somebody's thing, then they could go and speak at industry events, for example. That's another way to get a higher profile and extend your brand.
Wonderful. Okay. So if anybody would like to call in and ask May a question, then the number to call in, if you're in the States, is 646-716-7979. I'll say that again, 646-716-7979. And if you would like to ask a question, if you're outside the States and you'd like to ask a question, you can either send me a message on Facebook. I have a page open here, so you can send me a message there. Or there's a way you can go to the radio show site, which is secure.blogtalkradio.com/signup. And what you have to do is you sign up, and there it will give you a name. And that within that context, you can then actually ask a question. So you go to the sign up and you type in your question. I'll see it there and we can get a response from May. So if you're in the States, again, 646-716-7979. Great. Okay, so May, I'd like to move on now and start to look a little bit at what it is you're doing now. So you transitioned from your incredible 24-year career in investment banking. And you've transitioned over to being a leadership and executive coach. You speak, you advise, you have written a book, which you're going to talk about in a moment as well. So what is it, in your own words, what is it that you do now?
What I do is I help people who I think of as achievers. I help achievers to get to the next level in their careers and their lives more easily and with less pain and suffering. And my goal is to serve 1 million people and help them to be better, do more, and make a difference for them to make. And I am just so grateful that I have had this 24-year career because I never went into that career wanting to be a banker, let's say, and I didn't really particularly like finance in particular. And what really interests me is people, what makes them tick, what makes certain people and certain teams able to achieve more than others. And I really believe in human potential and that we need everybody to be operating at the top of their potential. Because we really need everybody to pitch in, you know. So that's really what drives me now. And I find that I love helping people to overcome whatever obstacles they have and to accelerate their time to success.
Wonderful. And I love that. Accelerate your time to success. That's great. So you said that you want to reach 1 million people.
Yes.
That's one big mission.
Well, you know, I thought it was too, but then I was talking to a young woman who I mentor, and she's from China, and she said, okay, I think you should think bigger because that's just the size of my hometown in China.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly. You know, 1.25 billion people there. So, but all joking aside, when I first started, when I left Morgan Stanley, it took 9 months just to decompress, and then I started to think, well, what do I really want to do? And the coaching was one of those things. I got a credential, and I started to do speaking first, which I really enjoyed doing. And then I started doing one-on-one coaching once I graduated from the program. And that turned out to be really rewarding, just to be able to see the change that can happen in another person. And to have been one small part of that is just so rewarding for me. I don't know if you feel the same way, Amy.
Yes, absolutely.
It's just, so you know that feeling. And so that's definitely an important part of what I do. But then the million is I came to realize that I can only help so many people. One of me, there's only so many hours in a day. And I wanted to be able to scale what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I set this goal that I felt, sometimes feel like it's unattainable, you know, a million people in my business. But yeah, it's important because if you don't set those really bigger goals, then you just, it's hard. When you set a big goal like that, it forces you to think bigger and think outside your immediate zone of comfort. And so that's why I've done that. And what that means is that I'm really focusing as well on building a virtual way or a digital way to serve people through building, well, part of it is blogging, and part of it is also on designing some self-paced learning or online courses to really help people. And I'll inject a piece of a piece where they can interact with each other and with me through maybe it's a call like this or a video version of it. So that's the reason that I set this really big goal.
That's fantastic. So thinking bigger, and it does, it really does take you outside your, it forces you to stretch your comfort zone, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful.
I pledged to do after I started becoming an entrepreneur is I have decided that I have to live every day, I have to live outside my comfort zone. Because actually, when you're an entrepreneur, if you don't do something, nothing happens. That's what I realized.
Yes. I was about to say, you know, from executive to entrepreneur, what would you say is your biggest learning from that, from taking that leap? Because I know that it's, you know, it's almost doing an about turn on many levels. What would you say was your biggest, what was your biggest worry about leaving corporate? Because I know that we do have some corporate listeners on here, and a lot of the times people do feel fearful about leaving what they know. So what was your biggest fear of leaving corporate?
Oh, well, all right. I'm going to laugh at me about this one. But, so leaving corporate actually was the bravest thing I ever did, really. I mean, it was so scary, and it was like I think of it like those cartoon characters that are running so fast, like Roadrunner or Coyote guys. You know, they run so far they just run off the cliff because they're running fast. So then they look down and go, "Oh my God!" and they start falling, and then they grab onto a tree branch and they're holding on, and then finally they have to drop off because they just can't hold on anymore, and they realize it's only been off the ground the whole time. So it feels really scary, but actually it's great. So the thing that I worried about most was, I remember saying this to my husband, "I'm afraid that I'll never amount to anything ever again." And he laughed at me and said, "So May, you think you already amounted to something?"
Oh my goodness.
So when you're in corporate, you maybe think, "Oh yes, I've amounted to something. I've climbed through the top of your whatever. You know, I'm a vice president, I'm an officer of the company." And but the world is really big, and there's room for you to make to be extremely joyful and happy in a number of places.
Yeah.
But I think that the other thing that is people. Are some of the people are listening who are in corporate land, I think it is important to make sure that you want to be an entrepreneur and that that's a happy place for you. I've had friends that have left corporate and then discovered they actually like the structure of being in a big organization. So, interestingly, I think that I probably feel more freedom now. I definitely feel more freedom now, but I do need somebody to help me focus because I have so many ideas that's my problem.
And I completely agree. I have the same thing going on. So many ideas and so many possibilities, and it does. I think like a lot of the time we say we don't. You know, nobody does this alone. And there are ways that you can get support or connect with people and that sort of thing. But groups of entrepreneurs. I mean, I know we met at Experts Academy. So there are ways of finding that, but it's not always obvious when you first start, is it?
Absolutely not. Yeah. And that's one of the biggest differences, I think, between corporate and being your own boss. The positive is freedom, and the negative is there's nobody there to tell you what to do or when to do it.
Yep. Great. Okay. So let's just take a quick look at some of the people you typically work with. Now, you mentioned they are achievers. And they feel stuck in their careers, perhaps in a mid-career slump, that sort of thing. What is it that you help them actually do?
Well, I actually work with at least two kinds of people. For my one-on-one coaching, it tends to be very senior people, and they are oftentimes making a transition to a different role. They've gotten promoted or... other times it's about developing their ability so that they can get promoted. And then there's another category who I'm serving now with more of the online versions and the group work that I do. And those are mid-career people and earlier career people who are oftentimes feeling stuck or wanting to accelerate and get ahead faster. So for those people, what I'm often doing is being what I call a strategic thinking partner.
Great.
And I help them think through and parse through the different challenges they're facing, what is really holding them back, and homing in on the one or two action areas and action points that will really move the needle for them. Because I think we have to be really pragmatic and focused, and it's all about helping people to change and make that those kinds of changes that we need to make in order to become who they want to become.
Right. I like being pragmatic. As an entrepreneur, like you were saying before, there's so many different options and possibilities. It's that pragmatism that we often need.
Yeah. So I have to say, I really love my clients, actually. I don't think I tell them that, but I do. I don't work with everybody. I have to really... think I can help them, and frankly, I have to like them.
Yes.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Amy?
So important. So, how can people get in touch with you? Do you have a Twitter handle? what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Well, the easiest way is on, either through Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook, and I think you've got all my handles there. But on Twitter, it's at Mae Bush, M-A-Y-B-U-S-H, and then also my website, which is maybush.com.
And I have it's Bush with a C, B-U-S-C-H.
Yes.
Maybush.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yep.
Okay.
And Bush.
Okay. So, as I ask each of my interviewees each week, I ask them for their most favorite song that really lights them up, that inspires them, that gets them going.
Yep.
And so May said that her song is Steely Dan's song, Reeling in the Years. So I'd just like to know a little bit why, just initially, why you chose her song, and then we'll look at a deeper meaning for you after the song, once we've listened to it. So why did you choose this song?
Well, this song came out in 1973, and it was having my first big birthday party where boys and girls were both invited. I think we call it a boy-girl party.
Yeah.
And, so of course the guys don't know what to get you, right? They're not going to get you some whatever girly stuff. And so I got an LP, a vinyl record, which is what it was back then. And so the first album I ever got was the Steely Dan album, and the album was called Can't Buy a Thrill. And then this song, Reeling in the Years, is one of the first songs on the A side of the vinyl long playing record. And it just evokes not only that time, but also when I was in college, there was a big courtyard outside of our dorm room. And in the spring, we'd have the windows open and somebody was just blaring, Reeling in the Years through the window. And it's just such a feel-good, positive, it was a sunny day, it was gorgeous, the sky was blue. And I think it was probably after exams, and it just makes me feel so, so good all the time. I just love it.
Wonderful. Okay, here we go. Reeling in the Years by Steely Dan.
Get it.
Precious, I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine?
Time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekends at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Have you had enough of mine?
spend a lot of time. The trip we made to Hollywood is etched upon my mind. After all the things we've done and seen, you find another man. The things you think are useless, I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the keys? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time. Are you gathering up the keys? Have you had enough of mine?
Sweeter than the sound of your own name, other than knowing that your names have the same letters. You've got Amy and you've got May. So we've got Brilliance in Action on the air today, and I just wanted to call in and touch bases with May. It's been a while since we spoke or saw each other.
Hi, Carlton. How you doing?
Hi, May. I see you're moving forward.
Absolutely.
Expeditiously.
Well, that's a great word, expeditiously.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the record, because I didn't know the name of the song. I do understand vinyl LPs, because, you know, I'm a little older than I look. But I never knew the name of the song, because it sounded like he was saying yeast. And I'm like, what? Because I heard of bringing in the cheese. I said, well, I guess you can bring in the yeast too. So now I know the correct title.
Wonderful.
The yeast makes things rise. You can't, you know, the dough can't resist the yeast. And that's kind of what we're looking for when you guys get to coaching individuals, that it's a positive insidiousness, because you come in and you cause things to move forward. You're a catalyst, and you can't separate the principles that you teach them from the person once they get them, just like you can't separate yeast from the dough once you work it in.
Wow.
I love
Carlton.
That.
Yeah. Wow. That is cool.
You're on fire,
so you ladies, you ladies do what you do. Thanks for taking my call. I'm looking forward to being face-to-face again. And May, there are several people proud of you, and I'm one of those people. So just keep moving forward.
Thank you. And you too, Carlton. It's so great to hear your voice. And air hugs to you.
Oh, same here. They're coming back at you. High fives and air hugs.
High fives and hugs.
Wonderful. Carlton, thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your show.
All righty. Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man.
Oh, wonderful. Carlton was my very first interviewee, so... online reunion. Wonderful.
Yeah, so, I have to go listen to hear what his song he picked, huh?
Yes, you do. Wonderful. Okay, so we're coming up to 15 minutes left. What I want to look at the moment is just coming back to three or four main points that I want people to walk away with today. And we spoke about personal branding and how you really have to take ownership of your life and your career.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I want to look at is something that you mentioned to me previously, is how to invest in yourself for greater success. So what is your take on that, and what does that mean for you and your clients? How to invest in yourself for greater success?
Well, you know, one thing I realized about entrepreneurs that is fundamentally different than people in corporate life is this understanding that you need to invest in yourself.
Right.
When you're an entrepreneur, you are the instrument. So you make it happen. You design things. It's your idea. It's your spark. It's your energy. And so there's a much better understanding that you've got to invest in yourself, whether it is taking time out for yourself or hiring a coach or having a particular set of experiences. Whereas back in corporate, I now realize that I had an attitude that my company was supposed to supply me with everything I needed. And, they would pay for my coaching, they would pay for my phone, they pay for my assistant. And it was this different mindset that if your organization's not going to pay for it for you, that, well, then, you know, you're not going to do it. Mm. When that's just, you've got to keep investing in yourself. So it's not just the financial piece, but it's also taking the time piece. So I think it's this mindset that you are your most portable asset. Everything you do to improve yourself, to train yourself in terms of how you're thinking, your wellness, your fitness, your ability to speak languages, your ability to present, whatever it is, you've got to go get that training or that experience or make those connections. So that's what I mean by investing in yourself so that you can have success. And because you can always recoup investments in yourself. It's the same with education, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And why do you think nobody can do it on their own?
Oh, well, because I've tried. And it doesn't work.
Brilliant.
I used to think that I could do all, so even my career, I chose business because none of my family was in business. And my parents, my father's an academic, my mother's a pediatrician, my sister, my brother, everybody, all of their friends, the fellow immigrants who came over from China and Taiwan to the U.S., they were all in medicine or academia. So I thought, gee, and I was also expected to go to graduate school. I guess it's a Chinese thing, education, right? I said, well, I don't want to go to medical school. I know that because my whole family does this, and one thing I'm not going to do is that, and plus I don't like the sight of blood. And then the second thing I tried, I thought, well, maybe law school, but then it just sounded too torturous. And so I ended up going to business school. And then ended up going into investment banking, which most of my family still doesn't know what that is, actually. So I thought, I'm going to do something that I achieved totally on my own, and nobody else is helping me. I don't want any help from anybody else. And of course, it doesn't work that way. And it was really helpful to have all those people along the way who were mentoring me, who were part of my, I like to say, you have to build a community around you of support, because it can be a really tough road, whether you're in corporate or entrepreneurship. You need to have people that are sponsoring you, people that are mentoring you, people that you mentor as well. I love the category. I created a new category, which is you've got to have raving fans.
I love it.
Yeah, me too. And so luckily for me, my parents are raving fans. We cannot choose our family. So not everyone has that luxury of having family that are raving fans. I do. I also now am creating another network of raving fans. I'm one of your raving fans. So,
and how would you say, I mean, what would be your top couple of tips for people to even start building their community?
Well, for one, it's to help other people first.
Yeah.
And without expectation that they're going to reciprocate.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe in the quote-unquote universe.
Yeah.
And, yeah, good karma and all that. And then, secondly, it's about staying in touch with those people that you really feel like you have a connection with.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often one of the great things is, you and I met. We met a lot of people at that Experts Academy. There were a lot of people there. In touch. So it's that keeping in touch and making that effort to do that, I think, is really important. And then the third thing is adding value. This is about, it can be suggesting things for people to read, or introducing somebody in your network to somebody else in your network, for example. So it's being willing to make the first move, staying in touch, adding value. Those are the three core things I think of when I think about how we go about building a community. And all of that involves getting out of your chair and doing things. I guess you can sit in your chair and send an email, but it does involve actually making a connection with people and engaging with them. And,
Wonderful. Fantastic. So what I have here is, I asked you prior to the radio show, what is it that you really believe in? And you responded that I believe that the world needs all of us to be at our very best.
Yep.
So for you, what is your very best? How would you describe that?
Well, I'm at my very best when I am helping people to be their best. And I think to do that requires actually having taken care of some of your own basic needs.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean is, I remember when I was going through the coaching training, one thing that really struck me was something actually very tactical. They said, before you go in and coach anybody, make sure you've eaten, make sure you use whatever restroom facility you need to use, and make sure you park all the things that are bothering you outside the door.
Yeah.
That you're really ready to help that other person. and that you can, you know, be in that zone. So that's what I mean by taking care of your own first, so you can concentrate on the other person.
Fantastic, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So what for you then do you think, given this is the Being Brilliant radio show, what do you think it takes to be brilliant?
You know, you really made me think about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I think about things and I write about this as well in my book and some of my blog posts, but I think about success and our lives and being successful, whether it's entrepreneurs or in corporate land, in three areas of capability. One is about how you work on yourself. So those are the personal qualities, your self-awareness, integrity, the kind of drive you have. I love the angel of Duckworth concept of grit, which is passion. So these personal qualities. The second category are about your interpersonal qualities. And I think of that as, how do you work with other people?
Mm-hmm.
And that's about how you communicate. Are you able to influence others? Can you build these trusted relationships? And then the third area is what I think of as how you work on the business. And when I use the term business, I use it loosely to also incorporate things like higher education, right? They're, I think, or nonprofits. They have a mission. So it's working on a mission, I guess you could say.
Wonderful.
And those are some of the core competencies that you need to have. Are you being strategic? Are you able to grow the opportunity set for that mission? Or are you just trying to split the existing opportunity and get more for yourself? So those three broad areas. And so if you're working on the aspects you need to work on all three of those, then that's going to help you be at your very best, which is what I think being brilliant really means.
Fantastic.
And you're working on that. I mean, and then the wrapper around it all is that you can't always control outcomes. We want to work towards results and outcomes, but those aren't always in our control. But it is making sure we're focused on taking the right steps, that we have a bigger mission in mind, and making it not about yourself, but about other people too.
Fantastic. Signs of a true leader. Now, listen, we've only got a couple of minutes left, so firstly, I'd like to say thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I feel like we could talk forever.
Yeah.
And also, yes, we'll have to do this again. And also, May has a book out. So May, you know, for our listeners, how can people reach this book, get a hold of it, to know a little bit more about you and to get more a download of your insights?
So the book is available on Amazon in ebook version or Kindle version as well as print copy version, and it's called Accelerate, 9 Capabilities to Achieve Success at Any Career Stage. And it's a really short, concise, actionable guide to help people master the often hidden skills that you need in order to get ahead and stay ahead. So I recommend it, as I would, but I wanted to help lots of people. So, and if it can help you or your client, I would be delighted.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope we can help you reach that million. just repeat the name of the book again so people can jot it down.
Yep, it's called Accelerate. And the subtitle is 9 Capabilities to Achieve Success at Any Career Stage. And if you just go on Amazon and search for Accelerate and May Bush, M-A-Y-B-U-S-C-H, it will come up.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Well, thank you so, so much, May. It's been a huge pleasure. We are now out of time. So if anybody would like to follow May, remember on Twitter, it's at May Bush, M-A-Y-B-U-S-C-H. On Facebook as well, she's also on LinkedIn, and her website is www.maybush.com. Thank you so much, May. I hope to catch up again very soon.
And, I look forward to it.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.